You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Momo C, and alongside me, as always, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong, to break down another night of NBA playoff basketball. And what a night it was. Let's start, BJ. First of all, how are you doing? I'm sorry, Rude. I didn't ask you that yesterday.
I'm great, Mo. Thank you for asking. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I just get so excited with the playoffs. I just go straight from the intro.
I get it. We all know you. We all know this is your time of year. This is your time of the year. You know, it's not playoff time.
I'm glad you say that, because usually you say free agency and trades is my time of the year. So I'm glad to be back on the court now.
That's okay.
There was a famous Anthony Edwards quote last summer, speaking of trades and free agency, or before last summer, when the Phoenix Suns acquired Kevin Durant. They asked Anthony Edwards what he thinks about it, and he said, well, they've got Kevin Durant, but we've got Jaden McDaniels. And tonight, the prophecy was fulfilled as the Minnesota Timberwolves won 105-93 against the Phoenix Suns. And check this out. Jaden McDaniels finished with 25 points and Kevin Durant finished with just 18. Jaden McDaniels was stellar on the defensive end. Let's break down the game, because this was a game in which Anthony Edwards only scored 15 points, which is low by his standards, 3 of 12 from the field. But luckily for him, a team high from Jaden McDaniels, like I just said. Rudy Gobert had an amazing performance. And BJ, I'm going to have to hold my hands up and admit I've changed my mind on Rudy. His 18 points, 9 rebounds.
Wait a minute. Time out. What is this world coming to?
It's credit to the hard work that Mr. Gobert has been doing, because you know, previously people don't like to say this, previously he struggled against quicker, faster perimeter players when he switched onto them, but tonight I watched him get switched onto KD, onto Booker, onto Beal, and give them all sorts of problems. In the pick and roll, they didn't have to just play drop. Now, part of this is because in Utah, his teammates were kind of bad, so they played drop just so that Rudy could clean up their mistakes. And now they've got great defenders on a team. But, you know, they were hedging. You know, they were doing all sorts of different things on the pick and roll as well. Shout out to Rudy Gobert. A fantastic game for them. And for the Phoenix Suns, Kevin Durant, 6 of 15 from the field. Bradley Beal, 6 of 17 from the field. Devin Booker, 6 of 13 from the field. It was not a good night for the Suns. The Timberwolves go up 2-0. I've got a few thoughts, but BJ, what was your takeaway from this game?
Well, I think it was yesterday we talked a little bit about this game, and or after game one, I thought the Suns would bounce back. I really thought the Suns had an advantage, especially at the four position with Kevin Durant versus Karl-Anthony Towns. That's been the key matchup for me, that I thought the Suns, who pretty much exploited that matchup during the regular season. However, I want to give the Minnesota Timberwolves, in particular Anthony Edwards, for stepping up and meeting the challenge. This young man, Anthony Edwards, again, he's an impactful player.
Defensively. He didn't score. And offensively.
Yeah, and tonight I saw another amazing effort by him, because he accepted the double team. He was a willing passer.
8 assists.
He put his players, his team in position. I think McDaniels or someone had like 20, 25 points.
Yep, Jaden McDaniels.
Rudy Gobert, I can't recall him. I've never seen him this aggressive on the offensive end.
And do you want to know one thing about Rudy Gobert that stood out to me in this game? That was a huge leap from him. His passing, what we call the short roll. So after the big man sets a screen, so Rudy sets a screen, rolls to the bucket. When he catches the ball there, he made some very nice plays. He didn't always get the assist because we had a pass to an assist. Right. But his passing out of the screen roll was fantastic. And he got a great assist with Karl-Anthony Towns cutting along the baseline. And he hit the little bounce pass to him. That was beautiful. I think this might be the best game I've watched Rudy Gobert play in terms of an all-round performance.
He was terrific. And it all started with Anthony Edwards. And he didn't have a big night. You know, the game one, I mean, he was simply phenomenal. You look at the stats, and when he had about 15, 18 points or something.
Yeah, 3 of 12 from the field, 2 of 6 from downtown. But you look at that amazing game one, and the Phoenix Suns, their adjustment has to be, we're going to have to get the ball out of Anthony Edwards' hands and force the others to beat us. And the others all stepped up. They had, what, 6 players in double digits.
Yeah, so and it all stemmed from Anthony Edwards. And he he was sensational. He made the right plays. He made the right passes. But more importantly, you know, it's you have to learn how to accept the double team, right? Meaning you got to get the double team, take the double team away, get the proper spacing so you can play advantage basketball 4-3 on the other end. And they did that. He did that beautifully. And I was just so happy for him because you're getting – it was like a clinic on how to make the right play. It's not always about scoring or going into isolation, and that gets the highlights, but you make the right play. And they did a really nice job. I thought Phoenix would play better, but I don't think there's anything they can do because now they know, Phoenix knows that Anthony Edwards is going to do the right thing. They double-teamed him. They made a huge adjustment on the defensive end. So now what can you do? You can't double him and win. You can't play him single coverage and win. So now it was kind of demoralized the team.
Not only that, I think it all starts with the defense. There was a 12-0 run in the third quarter where they put the clamps on the Suns. And that's really what got them. They started the game great. Phoenix got themselves back into it. But it's the defense for me that is the biggest difference maker because, you know, if you can't score the basketball, a team like the Phoenix Suns, in my opinion, their only shot of winning this, because they're not a great defensive team, is to outscore the opposition. And if you're not getting that production from your star players, it's just impossible. This game, to me, reminded me a lot of the Celtics-Brooklyn series when they had Kyrie, KD, those guys, and the Celtics swept them because the defense the Celtics played was simply sensational. The schemes that they ran in that series to sweep them in the first round. And that's how I'm looking at this series now, because even though the series is shifting back to Phoenix and they're playing at home with the home cooking and all that stuff, I just don't see, first of all, the biggest thing for me is Phoenix just looked lethargic out there. You know, they just, I said earlier, the Timberwolves play with a level of energy and a level of intensity that Phoenix just can't get to that gear. Now, Yusuf Nurkic, to his credit, tries to do a good job on the boards and, you know, eliminate disparity that they had in the previous matchup. But to me, Rudy Gobert, when he's punishing mismatches, when he's being able to blitz and guard on the perimeter and do all of that, Anthony Edwards, and this is the thing, when you've got Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, and Nikhil Alexander-Walker on the floor, those are three elite perimeter defenders as well. So it's like it doesn't matter who's guarding who and what the matchups are. Those three guys are going to be pesky defenders. They can pick up in the backcourt. They can lock guys up on the perimeter. I'm looking at this, and I think I said Timberwolves in seven. Right, I'm thinking it could be over a whole lot earlier. Do you see any way Phoenix get back into the series other than winning one game off really high percentage shot making?
Look, out of respect to Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, you know, I mean they're terrific offensive players. So I'm going to say both that they're going to get one there. You know, if they're going to get a game, they're going to get game three. Okay, I don't think they want to go back. If they lose game three, I don't think they want to go back to Minnesota.
Don't look like they want to play. And I said, when the Celtics played the Nets with KD on them, I said, out of respect, I'll give it Celtics in five. And it ended up being Celtics in four. I'm looking like this. The Timberwolves could pull the brooms out here.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I mean, well, it could be. But again, out of respect, because, I mean, listen, those are two elite players. I mean, you're talking about those two, Devin Booker, and they're going to be better at home. You would anticipate. However, I got to give Minnesota credit. I got to give Karl Anthony Towns credit. Karl Anthony Towns is really taking on, he's playing his role. You know, as you know, Mo, the formula, you know, you hear me say this all the time. The star player has to, you know, be a star. He's got to play his role. But these role players, in particular, Karl Anthony Towns is playing his role great right now.
And he has been a star before. So for him to accept that they don't need him to get 30, 40 points in the game.
No,
they don't need him to get up. He only took seven shots tonight.
Yeah.
And him buying into the team. Him buying into the team and accepting that, that's not what a lot of star players in the NBA would do.
Well, when you're playing with Anthony Edwards, I mean, I don't think there's really a choice. I mean, great players have to be great and role players have to be.
We saw Cat get 60, 70 in a game earlier this season.
And they lost. By the way. Okay.
Hey, I'm the one who's supposed to say 70 points don't count in a loss.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And they lost. Okay. So again, I want to give him credit because he's playing the right way. And this is the type of effort that you need. You find ways to win. Carl Anthony Towns has, I like the fact when you play the game to win the game. And Carl Anthony Towns, yeah, he can score 20 and he can get 25, but that doesn't necessarily translate to winning. Tonight, and since he came back from his injury, give him credit. I don't think he played like the last two or three games for the regular season. He's come back and he's accepted his role. And that is great to see. And the team has benefited. Now, what's going on with Slow-Mo?
Did he get hurt? He picked up an injury in game one. He left in the second quarter with a hip injury. And we didn't see him tonight. And you know, what's concerning for the Suns, number one, is this is a game where Anthony Edwards shot 25%. The Timberwolves as a team shot 28% from three, and they still managed to find a way to win. But the bigger concern now is Phoenix is a team notorious for being a mid-range dominant team and not being elite from three. Their best three-point shooter, Grayson Allen, left this game with a tweak in his ankle.
Yeah, hopefully
and
he's
he
back.
Did not return. So if he doesn't return, then that's dark times for Phoenix. Because they desperately need his three-point shooting out there.
That's great.
But let's keep it moving.
Okay.
To the first team to win on the road in the playoffs, the Indiana Pacers, who went into Milwaukee and won game two, 125-108 to tie up the series at one game apiece. Pascal Siakam, another 30-plus point performance, 37 points to go along with 11 rebounds and six assists. Miles Turner, absolutely huge, 22 points, six assists and seven rebounds. And Andrew Nembhard, 20 points. Tyrese Haliburton, again, a low-scoring performance by what we saw in the regular season, only 12 points. But a fantastic win for the Pacers to steal one on the road, and now they head back home. I love Tyrese Haliburton in the post-game talking his stuff where he said, we've had regular season games in Indiana that had a better atmosphere than a playoff game in Milwaukee. For Milwaukee, Dame Lillard, 34 points. Another big night for Dame. Middleton, only 15. You're really looking at Middleton to step up without Giannis being there. Brook Lopez did his part, 6 of 7 from behind the arc, 22 points, but not much scoring coming off their bench. What were your takeaways from this game?
Well, the one thing, Mo, that I was looking in game one, I was really surprised with was, especially with the age of the Indiana Pacers, I expected them to come out with energy. Now, sometimes that energy is, you don't know where that energy is going to go. Sometimes they'll have nervous energy. Sometimes you'll play too fast when you're nervous. This is a new group. They have some good young players. But they came out so lethargic in game one. Well, I didn't know what to expect. Like, what is going on?
They were just
on?
Nervous. It was their first ever playoff game. For like 90% of the roster.
I don't know.
I think that's what it was.
So I thought at the beginning of the series, when you look at the teams on paper, you say, you know what? This team can play fast. They're athletic. They have a lot of youth, age. They have depth, so forth and so on. And tonight they did that. I mean, Mo, they came out and played like the younger team. They came out and played like they had the fresher legs. They really took control of the pace of the game. And you could see speed and quickness really is a problem for the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, if it's one thing that has been consistent with this team is that they play the game at their pace. So give Indiana and the coaches and give these players credit for doing that. I thought they played well. Now they're going home. They should be feeling good about themselves. And I think they have a real opportunity here, Mo, to be very competitive and possibly win this series. I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks have been bothered all year by teams with this level of athleticism. So I think this is a good matchup for the Pacers. Let's see what they do when they go home. And maybe they'll have an opportunity to go up 3-1 in this series.
So here's where it turned around for the Indiana Pacers. And what I loved seeing in game two is they were pressing full four. They were picking up. Let me start again. Here's where it turned around for the Indiana Pacers. They were picking up full court, going 94 feet with the defense, really pressuring Dame and making his life difficult to even get the ball on the catch. Anytime he was on the court, they were all over him. And what Rick Carlisle did, which I thought was interesting, is even in the fourth quarter to start it, he went with a lineup which had a lot of bench players in when the Milwaukee Bucks had their starters in, which was used to tire them out because that defensive pressure, they were being so aggressive on their coverages. Although Dame finished with 34 points, you could see that that coverage was taking a toll and having an impact and not allowing Milwaukee to get those opportunities that they got in game one. Now, here's something. Dame time, the fourth quarter, it's not really been Dame time, even though they won the first game. Between the two games combined, Dame has scored in the first half 61 points, made 12 threes, shooting 58% from the field and 57% from three. In the second half of game one and game two combined, he's only scored 8 points, zero threes, 21% from the field, and 0% from three. Now, do you chalk that up to the Pacers' youth and speed wearing him down over the course of the game? Or do you see anything else in Dame Lillard right now that's causing him to have kind of... I understand in game one, they were up big, so he didn't need to score the ball as much in the fourth quarter. But tonight, they needed him. Only 8 points. Considering he had 23 points in the first 20 minutes, you would have expected him to have a bigger second half.
Well, Dame has really struggled to find really his role as a, he's really like a hybrid guard. You know, he's not a traditional guard from the standpoint. He's not a traditional point guard. He's not a traditional two guard. He's some type of hybrid. You know, he's a combo guard in today's standards. And with this Milwaukee Bucks team, he hasn't really found his rhythm in Damian Lillard by Damian Lillard standards. I mean, you know, he's shown glimpses here and there offensively, like he did in game one, but he can't sustain it because of the following. He's probably their best ball handler with this starting group. He's probably their best shooter with this group. We're expecting him to play screen role with this group. And he's having a lot of responsibility. And Damian Lillard is a scorer. It's kind of like, you know, when you talk about Steph Curry, there's nothing traditional about the way he plays. He's kind of some type of combo guard that goes out there and does a little bit of everything. So give Rick Carlisle credit for saying, we're going to force him to play faster than he wants to play. We're going to force him to play a way that he probably is not comfortable, that he can't do for 48 minutes. And they just kept the pace going at a place because, I mean, this isn't like an athletic team talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. They're not like a young athletic group. You know, Middleton, Brooke Lopez, and these guys, you know, I mean, they're terrific players in their own right. However, playing like that when the other team extends their defense, that's going to bother them. So, I think I see this being a problem, Mo, but I've said this. I don't know how this team is going to respond when they go back home. I don't know what they're going to do. You know, again, they didn't get in, talking about Milwaukee, they didn't get any double digit scoring off their bench again. You know, they're playing with Beasley and Jay Crowder and Pat Connaughton and these guys, but they're not bringing a new energy to the game. They're just kind of like all fitting into the same. And then there's no Giannis, which is the major problem here. So, well, we'll see what happens. I don't know if Giannis is coming back or what have you. But, you know, Dame had, what, like 30-something points again tonight?
Yep.
Yeah, he had 30-something points. But, you know, Pat Bev, I mean, I just puts pressure. You know, I mean, I know what Pat Bev does, but he's a starter. I know why he's starting. I get it. But you got to score double figures or so to maintain the balance of what you're going to bring on one end of the floor.
Yeah, 1 of 5 especially, from the field tonight, only 5 points.
Yeah, yeah.
That's and Malik Beasley off the bench wasn't much help. He only played 10 minutes and scored 4 points.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I just think it's, you know, it's just putting a lot of pressure on Dame. You know, he's playing 39, 40 minutes or what have you. But I just think youth will be served. If they continue to play with this type of energy, I don't think there's anything that Milwaukee can do other than they have to shoot an exceptional – I mean, they were exceptional in game one, especially in the first half. And I don't know if that's sustainable over a series.
Yeah, and the one thing we talked about in the regular season with the Pacers that you saw tonight is their pace of play, even when Milwaukee scored, the speed at which they inbound the basketball and fly down the court before the defense can fully get set up as well, that's something that's been a staple for them, and you saw that on full display tonight. But there was another team, BJ, that won on the road.
Ooh.
We've got a series here. Dallas Mavericks, 96-93 against the LA Clippers. And Luka Doncic doing what he does, 32 points. Kyrie chipped in with 23. PJ Washington had 18. And he got the win there. And Kawhi Leonard made his return tonight with a quiet 15 points. James Harden and Paul George both had 22 apiece. And it was the ball game. What did you see in this one?
Well, Mo, as you and, you know, I don't call our listeners. I don't call them fans. They're leaders. I mean, we have the best. These guys are the best. And I went to game one, and I said this. I don't know if I said it to you off air or maybe on air. It seemed like we talked 20 hours out of the day anyway. I said this was a trap game for the Clippers.
Yeah, you said that on the podcast last night when we did.
Yeah, I said it was a trap game because the fashion in which they won, it was a feel good game from the beginning to the end. You know, mm-hmm. they were up big, they played well, they picked on Luka.
And by the way, Luka's defense tonight was sensational. Let's give credit where it's due. Luka Doncic tonight defensively. Well,
I don't know when I said this to you, but I said Luka's either he's going to do it or he's not. I know I said this to you. I was like, it was just obvious what they're doing. Whoever Luka's guarding, let's go at him. Luka couldn't make any shots. It wasn't like they were stopping him. They just didn't make shots.
And in return tonight, the Clippers shot 8 from 30 from downtown, 26%. They had a bad shooting night, whereas the Mavs shot 42% from behind the arc.
And I said, Dallas, look, they're not going to miss. Lucas is a great player. Great players never have back-to-back bad games. I mean, the guy had a bad game. He had like 31 points or something in game one. So I was like, he's not going to have another back. He's not going to play bad. He's not going to play like that ever again in this series. He's too good of a player. And lo and behold, here we are. And now the series is tied. I think this is a bad loss for the Clippers. I think now, you know, it's one thing about Luka, I will say, when he smells blood, he's going for it.
He's a killer.
Yeah, he's going to go. And tonight, he made a couple shots tonight, Mo. Those, I mean, listen, it was great defense. It was just superior offense. He's just a superior offensive player.
Yeah, I mean, it's just especially down the stretch, that 1-3 they hit was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was incredible.
So for this one, Zubac, who had a great game in game one, got in some early foul trouble, so we didn't see him too much. Then Mason Plumlee came in for him, and Luka just went at him, made sure he was involved in the screen roll every time, and basically scored at will against him. One thing that I thought worked really well for the Mavericks, and when this works well, they do tend to win, is when you have Maxi Kleber hitting shots from downtown. He went 2 of 3 from behind the arc, and PJ Washington, 3 of 4 from behind the arc in the fourth quarter, especially. He was fantastic. But when they went with that front court, because Daniel Gafford went off injured, he only played 9 minutes tonight. Daniel mm-hmm. Gafford had some sort of injury. I don't know what the injury is. I don't know if he's going to be available for game three, but obviously he's a huge part of their team. But without him, the rest of the team being able to step up, Derek Lively came in and he was very solid in his minutes. So the Kleber Washington front court was really a turning point in this game when they were knocking down shots. The Clippers on the other side, they did a good job in this game, kind of double teaming Luka, getting the ball out of his hands, making his teammates go up against him and win. But then you've got Kyrie Irving, you've got these guys who are hitting their threes. It becomes very difficult. And the one thing that stood out to me when I started watching this game is Luka Doncic had, what, 2 blocks in like the first couple of minutes. And I was like, okay, I think the Mavericks are going to take this one. If this is how he's turned up for today, okay, we're going to have a tied series after this.
You watch the most random things, you know?
So do you want to see, like, I have random stuff. I make notes during the game. So I have Clippers first bucket. They put Zubac on the post, and they had Paul George curling off a Zubac post up to get a layup in the paint, unguarded, because they threw two at Zubac in that situation. These are the kind of things I like to watch. We should do more watch along so that the audience can enjoy these.
I enjoy those. I enjoy those.
We should definitely do some more of those. I will be on TV this weekend for the Clippers and the Mavericks game 3 on Sunday.
Oh, beautiful.
They did make the call. They said they need me back. And
They sent the bat signal.
They did. They sent the Mo signal up in the air. I will be back there on Sunday for our UK fans. Nice. It's nice early on the BBC Sport. I don't know what BBC channel it will be, but it'll be somewhere on iPlayer. You guys can check that out. But BJ, it's that time. Let's predict tonight's matchups. Okay. First one, Miami versus Boston. Eric Spoelstra has had some time now while his players were out in the club to tinker with his tactics.
What did you just say?
You heard me.
They were where? I
said this yesterday. I'll say it. They were out in the club.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, sources say, Mo sources. I haven't heard that.
Well,
allegedly.
Let's see if their rest and relaxation has sparked them for tonight's game. Or...
Jimmy Butler's not playing. I don't think there's anything they can do. I think Celtics big again.
Okay. Now, here's the interesting one. Pelicans, OKC.
You know, I'm going to say this. This series kind of reminds me of the New York Philadelphia series. Philadelphia could easily be up 0-2. I mean 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last night's game, they did everything except win the game. I'm going to say that I'm going to pick the Pelicans just like I picked the Sixers, because this is a very evenly matched game. These teams are evenly matched as far as, you know, what they can do, what they can play. They kind of, you know, you have this one matchup that clearly is in favor of New Orleans with Valanciunas and Chet Holmgren, and they're going to have to figure out how to do something with that. So I'm going to say the Pelicans. And the only reason I'm saying that is because they showed you that they could, they have the ability to do it. Now, you're at home. You want to get the home cooking. You do not, especially if you're a young team like OKC, you don't want to go down to New Orleans 1-1.
See, I've got the Thunder winning tonight.
Yeah, I mean,
the reason being is the Pacers-Milwaukee series, right? You saw the nerves that the Pacers were playing with in game one. The Thunder had similar nerves because they had that stretch in the fourth quarter where they couldn't score a basket, and they were very lucky to win game one. But I feel like game two, they're going to come in, they're going to play their style of basketball, they'll be more confident, they'll be more prepared, and they'll have a little pep in their step after going up 1-0. And that's why I'm picking the OKC Thunder.
I mean, listen, they've played terrific all year. They really have, OKC. I mean, deep down, I want the Thunder to win. But I got to respect this team. I'm going to say this because I think he's a great player. Brandon Ingram is not going to have a back-to-back bad game. I expect Brandon Ingram to come out, and he's going to play well. But I also expect Shea to come out and have a bigger game too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just think right now they've had a couple days. I think the big fella just has too big of an advantage in this series, that they're going to have to do something. Because if Chet Holmgren gets in any type of foul trouble or anything, I don't know. And it seems like coach doesn't have any confidence in his bench to go play big.
So I have a message.
And you can't play small. And you can't play small against Valanciunas.
I have a message for Coach Willie Green. Please trust in Jonas Valanciunas. Force the refs to make the call. I want the first five possessions of Pelicans offense to be Jonas Valanciunas post-ups on Chet Holmgren. And until the refs start calling an offensive foul for him being too strong, I want you to run with that. Do what the Clippers did in game one. That's what I want to see.
That's what I see. I just think, look, if they can establish that part of the game, okay, because Valanciunas plays with force. You know, Mo, I love bigs. I love the big guys. I'm going to feed the big fella, because if big fella is scoring, he's going to rebound. He's going to take good fouls.
Set brutal screens.
He's going to do all the little things that this Oklahoma City team can't counter it. They can't play a physical game.
You might have to call Biz, tell him to be ready.
Well, Biz, listen, I know Biz can, but there doesn't seem like the coach is going there. I'm going to play a scrappy physical game. I'm going to turn this into basically a street fight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think that favors an
80-point game for both teams. I'm trying to turn this into gravel.
Right. Yeah. I just think they have the ability to turn this into like a grinded out game, because the Oklahoma City Thunder can't play that style. They can't play that brand. So I think if they can do that, I think the Pelicans have a wonderful opportunity ahead of them. But, you know, I want this Oklahoma City Thunder team to play well. I must admit, you know, I'm biased to the Thunder, But I'm really, really concerned. I'm concerned because I don't see any answers for the big fella if he gets to cook it. If he does one of those 2015 games, Mo, I think there's no way that they can win the game.
Well, I hope Willie Green is listening to the podcast. That's all I will say. But appreciate you as always, BJ. I hope you guys enjoy the show. Make sure you tune in YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from for your daily dose of NBA updates as we're here all playoffs long and beyond. Shout out to everyone in the Discord as well. We had some good conversations during the game, so make sure you guys join that. The link is in the description.
And you know, Mo, I want to say this. You know, the leaders and I want to appreciate your wonderful comments about Rudy Gobert. I just want you to know that.
Man, I thought you were about to tell me Adam Silver called you and said, Tomo, thank you for staying up until 7 a.m. every day to give the fans in Europe the best daily podcast available, the only place where you can catch up on everything you need to know about the NBA in one place on your way to work or school or in the gym.
Absolutely. But the leaders and I want to personally thank you for your 180 on Rudy Gobert. I mean, I can't believe it. I give credit where it's due.
I hold no biases. I give credit where it's due. All I do is I call the game like I see it. And I've been saying this about Rudy Gobert all season long. We've just never really got into it on the podcast that he has made a remarkable improvement on his defense.
That's a win. That's a win. Because you know what? Rudy is Defensive Player of the Year. And Mo acknowledged it.
All we need now is a Paul George game winner in the playoffs. And we'll be nice. We're going full 180 on everyone.
And ladies and gentlemen, just like that, he goes right back.
You know the vibes. Until next time, my good people, get buckets.